Lord for what he's done for me up at Bible school. I'm grateful to be here and thankful for this opportunity. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 9, verse 32. Says, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man between us that might lay his hand upon us both." That word days man means an umpire or an arbiter or a mediator. A days man was the one used if there was a difference between two parties. It was used to bring them together. If there was an argument between two people and they couldn't settle something, they would get a days man to settle the difference between them. In a sense, he was the lawyer that would argue the case for the one who was guilty. As talk, you know, if there's an argument between two people, it would take the two, and says he might lay his hand upon us both. He'd lay hands upon them both, bring them together, and come to a agreement, come to a reconcile. They'd reconcile the two parties. And Job, in this, he is recognizing his inability to argue for himself. There was no days man. He looked about and he sought for someone that would be a representative for him, one that could bring him and God together. The essentials of a days man: he must be acceptable by both parties seeking reconciliation. He must have received delegated authority from both parties. He must be qualified to consider and understand both parties, and must be one who has a compelling interest in the resolution. Job looked about and he could find no one who would represent himself to God. He was destitute. His friends had just got through telling him that God was not listening, that he had committed some sin, and he was a good hypocrite. He could hide things really well, but he had committed a sin and must reconcile himself to God. And Job was calling out, saying, "I am pure and upright. I need someone to reconcile me to God to prove that I am pure and upright." He was destitute. His entire life and livelihood was destroyed. All of his livestock, his children, his houses, his belongings was destroyed. And even his life was in peril. He saw himself as small and insignificant. He could not reach out to God. There was no way he could reach out to God and have a voice that would be heard by God. That first part, he says, "For he is not a man as I am." Job recognized that sinful man cannot approach the holy God in his natural state. This is because man is a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Adam, Brother Predick taught us that Adam was our federal head. He was placed in the Garden of Eden as a representative for all mankind. When Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, he was placed in a perfect environment, and he was placed on trial for all mankind. All mankind was placed on trial in Adam in a perfect environment, and Adam failed. He failed, and in him, all mankind sinned. When he sinned, all mankind sinned. Adam closed our communications with the Father. Adam caused all man to sin. God cannot behold iniquity, says in Habakkuk 1 and 13, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. God cannot look on iniquity. He is a holy God, and his sin has separated God and man. In Isaiah 59 and 2, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. God is a holy God, and he is so holy, he must banish everything that is not holy from his presence. It is as when you turn on a light in a dark room. The darkness must leave the room. There is no darkness. When God is so holy, all of the sinfulness must leave. Everything that is unholy must leave. Job is looking for someone to represent him to God. And just as Job is looking for someone to represent him to God, all mankind throughout the generations has looked for someone to represent them to God. Melchizedek was one of the first representatives, I believe. He was a priest of the Most High God, and the act of him bringing the bread and wine to Abraham was maybe the sign of a sacred feast beginning. And then Moses and Aaron were mediators. Moses interceded for the children of Israel. He prayed to the Father that if you're going to destroy them, just blot my name off too. And God changed his mind. And Aaron was the high priest. He was a mediator as well. On the Day of Atonement, which was instituted by God, the high priest bathed and offered a sacrifice of a bull for his own sins. He had to be pure in himself. He then killed a goat and took its blood and sprinkled its blood on the mercy seat, placing the blood between God and the law, thus atoning or covering over the children of Israel's sin. He also laid his hands upon the head of a goat and confessed the sins of Israel over it. Then he sent the goat away from the camp into the wilderness. This symbolized that Israel's sins were being carried outside of the camp to disappear in the wilderness. And the Job's cry, God heard his cry when he cried out for a mediator. He cried out for a day's man. And it says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This is the answer to Job's cry for a day's man. When he looked about and he said, I cannot find a day's man, neither is any day's man. God is in a sense saying, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. First of all, that one God is one God. We all know that there is one God. This God is merciful, impartial, just, and has always possessed the power to reach down to man, even though man did not possess the power to reach up to God. There is one mediator. This states that there is only one mediator between God and man. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is only one way to God. This is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Catholics say that they reach God through Mary. Mary represents them to Jesus, and then Jesus represents them to God. But there is only one mediator and one way. There's other people that try to get to heaven through other methods and other ways, but there is only one mediator and one way in which you can reach the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is not one mediator for the rich. There's not one mediator for the poor. There's not one mediator for the king. There's not one for the subject. There's not one for the master, and there's not one for the slave. There is one, and he is for all. In Hebrews 3:1 it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." These two terms, apostle and high priest, can be summed up in one word, mediator. The apostle represents God to man. The word apostle means sent one. Moses was Israel's sent one. He was sent by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. For man, there is no bridge to God, but from God to man. Man on his own is too small and insignificant to reach God. Man needed one to be sent who would represent God to man. Jesus was our sent one, as he was prophesied to be in Isaiah 61:1. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Jesus was sent by God to set us free from sorrow, to set us free from prison, and to set us free from bondage. As long as we are in Jesus, we will experience freedom from the chains of sin. Through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we are made free of the bondage of the law of sin and death. Jesus not only fulfilled his duty of an apostle to lead us out, but he also fulfilled what Joshua did. Moses just fulfilled to lead him out of Egypt, but Jesus is going to fulfill to lead us to Canaan and to heaven. He goes a step farther. He's going to lead us to heaven. The high priest represents God, man to God. The high priest had to be, there were several things that the high priest, several qualifications that the high priest had to meet. The high priest had to be called of God, as Aaron was. Jesus was called in Hebrews 5:10, where it says, "Thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek." He would not, this means he would not be of the established line of Levitical priesthood. He was not of the bloodline where he's a Levite, but he was of a special priesthood that was unusual and extraordinary. There was only one Melchizedek, and there's only one high priest that represents us to God, Jesus. The high priest also had to be sympathetic to the needs of the people, because he had experience with the same infirmities as them. Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He has experienced our temptations, so he will be sympathetic to our needs. He knows our nature to sin, because he was a man, he was made a man just as we are. In the classic by Mark Twain, The Prince and the Pauper, there were two boys that looked just alike. One was the prince, Edward VI, and the other was Tom Kenny. One day, Tom was out going around and found himself by the palace, and ran up to the gate and was just watching the prince as he went about his way and was doing some things, and the guard started to chase him away and get rough with him, and the prince ran out and stopped him and took little Tom into his room, and they got to talking, and they noticed they looked just alike. They stood in the mirror and they ended up changing clothes and just for fun. And then the prince ran out to get on to the soldier for being mean to Tom. And the soldier mistook him for Tom and cast him out in the streets. And the prince lived for a while out there. He had to go back to where Tom had lived. And he was subjected to the same beatings that Tom had endured all of his life from his grandmother and from his father. His father took him around. He was subjected to the same ridicules of a poor person. He was subjected to his father took him along with the gang and stuff he was a part of, subjected to the sin and the drinking and all that stuff that went on in the gang. But in the end, the prince got back into his He found his way back into the court and got put back on the throne, and they switched parts again, except Tom got put into a position where he was no longer a poor person, but was the king's ward. And the prince, whenever he became the king, King Edward the Sixth, and whenever someone would say, some rich, wealthy courtier would complain that his laws were too easy, he would reply, "What do you know of suffering and oppression? I and my people know, but not you." The Prince Edward, he had experienced all of the roughness and all of the filth and all of the horribleness that the people had to live with every day. But the wealthy person did not know. Just as Prince Edward was able to rule justly because he had been subjected to the same circumstances as the people, so is our High Priest, Jesus, able to be sympathetic to our cause because he has been subjected to the same as us. He's made a man. Jesus was made flesh that he might become our mediator. He was both 100% God and man. This gave him the authority to come before the Father because he is God, and also to represent mankind because he is man. He bridged the gap between man and God. Richard Hooker said that there is no mediator between God and man, save that mean between both, which is both. My mediator is both God and man. He is God, so he has the authority to represent man. He is at the same time man, so he has the authority to represent man. The word "days man" speaks of one who could bring two together that were at disagreement. Jesus has the authority and the power to bring these two together. God has always had the ability to reach man, even though man had not the power to reach God. Jesus is the mean or medium through which we can reach God. King George V was to speak on the radio at the opening of a disarmament conference, and his speech was to be relayed to America. Just as the broadcast was about to begin, a cable suddenly snapped in a New York radio station, plunging the staff into panic. What was to be done? More than a million listeners in the United States had tuned in on their sets and were waiting to hear the king's voice. It could not get through. The communicating contact had been severed. This was in the days before tape recordings were able to record the speech. So all of these people would not be able to hear this speech, and this speech would be lost irretrievably. By what means was the failure to be rectified and the relay effected? Harold Vivian, a junior mechanic employed on the premises, saw in a moment how the problem might be solved. Seizing with his bare hands the live ends of the broken wire, he held them firmly and gallantly as the royal message passed through. Electrical charges of some 250 volts shook his body, convulsing him from head to foot and causing him considerable pain. But he did not relax his grasp. Resolutely and desperately, he clung to the cable till the people heard the king. In the same way that Harold made his body the medium through which the king's voice could reach the people, that the message might go through, Jesus Christ gave his body that we might be represented to God. As Harold endured the pain that all of the people in the radio station's range could hear the king's voice, Jesus endured the pain and the shame that all of us might have a voice with the king. He gave himself a ransom that all might have a voice with the king. Jesus was our high priest. In the Old Testament, the ones who had accidentally killed someone were able to run and hide in a city of refuge that they might be, that the avenger of blood wouldn't be able to kill them. They were to stay in this city of refuge until that the high priest had died. And just as the high priest had to die in the Old Testament, that the ones in the city of refuge, ones that were hiding, could go free, so our high priest, Jesus, had to die that we might go free. Jesus, our high priest, gave himself a ransom that we might go free. The word ransom talks of money or price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or a slave. Jesus set us free. We are all enslaved by the devil. And because of our sin held us captive. Jesus shed his blood as a ransom that we might go free. He gave himself as a perfect sacrifice that we might be freed from our sin. Jesus, just as a sacrifice required an animal that was without spot or blemish, Jesus offered himself as a spotless, sinless sacrifice. As I said on Wednesday night, Jesus lived approximately 12,000 days without sin. In this 12,000 days, there were several things he never did. He never looked with lust. He never dressed to entice. He never uttered a hasty, unkind, frivolous, or untrue word. He never entertained an impure thought. He never was accused by conscience. He never inflamed by the wrongful passion. He never was out of step with the will of God. He never wasted time or talent. He never used talents for selfish ends. He never was a bad influence. He never judged someone wrong. He never had to apologize. He never retracted a single word. He never was too late or too soon. He was never upset. He was never shallow or afraid. Jesus lived all 12,000 days on this earth with the same passions we are subject to, yet he never yielded to them. His spotless sacrifice atoned for our sin, just as the death of the goat atoned for the sins of Israel. To atone means to cover over. Jesus' blood covers over our sin and hides it from God's sight. Just as on the Day of Atonement, the blood of the goat was sprinkled on the mercy seat to cover the sin from God's eyes. We now have our sins forgiven due to our mediator giving his life a ransom for us. We have a perfect mediator. The requirements of the day's man to represent us and bring us together can only be met by one person, Jesus Christ. It said he must be acceptable by both parties seeking reconciliation. Jesus is God and therefore acceptable by God. He must have received delegated authority from both parties. He is God, so he has given himself the power, and he was sent by God. He must be qualified to consider and understand both parties. Jesus is God, so he has the ability to understand God. Jesus is man, therefore he can understand our need. He was subjected to the same passions as we are. He can understand our need. He must be one who has a compelling interest in the resolution. Jesus loves us. His love is so great it surpasses our knowledge, according to Ephesians 3:19. And God loves us and sent his Son, and it says so in John 3:16. I said earlier that Adam was the federal head that committed to sin and represented all mankind and in him all men fail. Well, there's another federal head, Jesus. And Jesus was placed in an imperfect environment. And he represented man and lived perfect throughout his entire life in an imperfect environment. And in his death, where Adam, he sinned and gave all man, in him all man sinned. And Jesus, in his death, all have life. And in him, he has opened our communications with the Father. Jesus is acceptable to God. He has the authority to talk to God, to bring him together, but you must give him the authority to represent you. You must accept him to be the one who represents you to God. You must give him this authority. And I thank the Lord that I gave him the authority to represent me. And I just want to go on. And I want to serve him and do his will. Thank you.